John, do you want to describe what this is?
Okay, so what we've got right here on offer, not from a sponsor, is, as Matt goes to pour it for himself, is Sierra Tequila. It's the Reposado. It's the darker colored one. It tastes like you would expect any cheap tequila to taste. It's strong. It'll put hair on your balls, and it'll likely make you cough. And that needs to be a full shot. Fill it up. Fill it up.
It's pretty full.
Fill it up.
Very acidic aroma.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess here's to Matt. He's
true
blue.
I don't think that's what tequila's supposed to smell like.
He's a piss pot through and through.
Come
ready?
On, buddy. Here we go. Finally,
you
we
have a video. Yeah. Down.
Happy Tuesday night. enjoy the trip home.
All right,
man. Well, this little like Mexican.
There's only one way to get rid of hair on your balls, and that's with
Manscaped.
The lawnmower. 4.0. Somebody Manscaped, please sponsor us.
Week 5 is in the history books, and it looks like we're about to start seeing some heads roll. Matt Rhule will rule no more as the Carolina Panthers shit the bed on Sunday and by Monday gave their head coach the arse. Nathaniel Hackett surely looks like he's next after another embarrassing Amazon stock-dropping performance at home against the Colts. Meanwhile, the New England Patriots wore red and made the Lions look like the Cubs in a dominant 29-0 performance. The Texans notched their first win in a game where Trevor looked less like Peyton Manning and more like Ryan Leaf. And the rush time continued in Dallas while their latest victim is a piss-poor Rams team that still look hungover from the Super Bowl winning parade. But as always, I got the boys here, Evan, Mitch and Matt. What's doing, lads?
The coaching carousel has started. It has to continue.
Oh, yeah, the seat is
hot.
Can't
wait for my down. What a week.
Tepper is full of shit. So much for being patient. Wasn't that 2 weeks ago? He said that?
Yeah. Something they're like at that. The point of no return, but I mean, he's won 11 games in 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 7-year contract. First of all, it was a stupid contract. Why give a college coach who's never had any real experience head coaching in the NFL a 7-year contract in the first place?
I think there was a market for him at the time, though.
Yeah, there was a market for him, but clearly one that was built on false expectations. Because, I mean, they've been bad. They've been bad in...
Oh, horrendous.
Yeah. So, you know, it's that's interesting. But, hey, do you go back to Dak Prescott now?
I told you back in week 2, if Rush goes 4-0, what do you do? And now we're here. Well, the news is that Dak probably won't be ready by this Sunday night, so it could be the 5-0 Eagles against the 5-0 Cooper Rush.
Well, they'd be 5-1 if he beats them. But yeah, you can't pay someone $58 million a year to cheerlead.
No.
He's good to go, he plays.
If he's good to go, he plays. But like we said, with Wilson's injury last year, you just don't want to rush it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Not when you're 4-1. It's such an important game, but the divisional context of that Philadelphia are one of the only few teams at the moment that are better than Dallas, so at least by record.
Yeah, yeah. For now. You know what? How about these Rams? What the fuck is going on in L.A.? The silence says
They got their birthday last year, I think. Like, they're just so fortunate they won a Super Bowl because...
Yeah.
With all those free contracts, the trading, no first-round picks for another 3 years.
What about Kansas City self-harm in the AFC Championship game? Like, surely. Yeah. Whoever won out of them in Buffalo should have won the Super Bowl, and they just butchered it in 30 minutes of madness.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy. But hey, there you go. Well, let's get into all the fun and festivities as we always do. And we're going to start with the four downs. And reminding you, if you don't know what this is, well, it's a wordplay, but we're bringing a down each, something that we want to talk about and share with you, the listeners. So who wants to kick us off this week? Who's got an awesome down to share?
I'll kick us off as always.
Uh-huh.
A deja vu.
Indeedy.
Sounds like it.
Sunday Night Football. It's going to be the most watched game besides the Super Bowl all year. 5-0 Philly versus 4-1 Dallas up in Lincoln Financial. I think there's no bigger game that's going to happen this year. I think it's a bigger game than the Chiefs and Bills.
Yeah, probably not a better game, but it will be a bigger game by audience for sure.
How embarrassing if it winds up being like a 9-6 performance.
Oh, I think both teams are going well, like really well. Dallas's defense.
It depends on the weather. Like in Philly, the last 2-3 weeks, it's been pretty shit. So the run game for Dallas, especially against the Rams, 180 plus rush yards. Cooper Rush didn't really have to throw the ball. Like, we relied on a run game more often, which was good. So, yeah, it'll be interesting with the run game of us versus the run game of Philly. And plus, our rush defense is in the top five in the NFL. So, we'll see that Micah Parsons versus Jalen Hurts storyline, which will be good. See, I'm just excited for that game. I just think it'll be probably the biggest game of the year, especially with those two rivalries, Sunday Night Football, prime time.
Yeah, the last two games on Sunday are just going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Who's next? Who's got one to bring?
Oh, I don't like calling for people's jobs. We mentioned Matt Rhule, obviously losing his 24 hours ago. And I saw two astonishing coaching things on the weekend. So going back to Thursday night, Nathaniel Hackett, like, seriously, you have not scored a touchdown in the entire match. You've got a chip shot field goal to at least get a tie and try and create a defensive turnover and another field goal. We still had 3.5 minutes left. What were they, 8 yards out? They ran. Oh, they didn't. Fourth and one. So you've
and
got,
on the play before, it was 3rd and 7 in rush for 6 yards.
Yeah, you've got a normal straight down the teeth. You've got a quarterback sneak. You've got even a draw with Wilson.
A bootleg.
You've got anything, but what wouldn't you do? You wouldn't throw a mid-range pass to the best, targeting the best corner in the entire league. That's Stephon what you wouldn't Gilmore. Do?
Yeah, you would think so.
That's exactly what he did.
He even had his other wide receiver on a stand that was open for a second or two, and he didn't even look his way.
Yeah. Was that the play before? That was earlier in the drive.
That was the play. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether to put it on Wilson for not making the throw. I think the call's worse.
Yeah, I feel like Wilson forced it. Like, I think he could have, like, taken a set. Even if he ran out, he would have drawn a player, could have done many things. But that fourth and one, were they in shotgun? Yeah. Were they under center?
They were under center. Like, but then I saw on Sunday in the early window a worse call from a guy that I don't know if Brandon Staley's a coach or like he is a complete clown. Like, seriously, like the Chargers, who were down 14-0, came back, then led the majority of the game after that. They got the deficit, you know, in tow quite quickly. And then all of a sudden, they're 30-28 up, and he goes for it on fourth down at midfield with a minute to go. I know you're playing Jacoby Brissett, but it's like two mid-range passes away from field goal range. They got a reasonably easy shot at field goal, and then the kicker fortunately sliced it right, and he's got out of jail and claiming he's, you know, he'll always go for it, his balls. He's an absolute idiot. Like, I know. To be fair to Nate Hackett, he at least tried to win the game, but he risked losing. But I don't know if Denver deserved to win the game or not. But like, the Chargers just voluntarily gave a team an opportunity to beat them by a point that they were in front of by two, and punt the ball downfield, make Jacoby Brissett
drive
95 yards in 50 seconds. Yeah. Like, it was absolutely stupid. And this is like 3 weeks after he kept Herbert on the field when they're getting beat by 28 against Jacksonville. Like, he's an absolute clown. I don't know what's going on in LA, seriously.
You know what? Like, I liked Anthony Lynn, who they fired so that they can hire Staley after 1 year. But Anthony Lynn, not only did they have a really decent season with a really young core, first time, it was only his first year coaching. Justin Herbert created his name under Anthony Lynn. And then suddenly you fire him because you got this shiny fucking object named Brandon Staley.
Keenan Allen's at home tweeting, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, he's tweeting, what are we doing as a play caller? Like, about his own team. Like, seriously. Just someone stop with
talking about calls today. What did you guys think of the Raiders going for two today?
I thought that they needed to get in front because Kansas City were probably going to score anyway. I would have done the same thing. I've got no issue with that. You've got to put up points against Mahomes.
I agree.
You don't. It's completely different to protecting a 2-point lead against Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maddie, my boy.
I promise this is the last time I'll talk about Pittsburgh.
Oh, come on, man.
How could you find something in this game?
I promise.
Come on.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, if you miss the game and you look at the scoreline, you think, nothing to see here, 38-3. The Bills running red.
Could have been 100-3.
Well, could have. No, this is where I beg to differ. This is where I beg to differ.
Really?
What are you saying? The Steelers got robbed?
This was the close. No. I'm saying this is the closest 38-3 game you'll ever see. I'll tell you why. So
Yeah, okay, so there were the Steelers D just weren't up to standard, their usual standard. They were caught out on
299 yard.
Yeah, busted coverage, exactly. And look, all credits Josh Allen. They were just incredible throws to Gabe Davis on both occasions. You know, weak O-line as well. So, you know, Allen was only pressured three times, no sacks. So it is on the Steelers' D to an extent. But I went back to watch this game and was looking at this offense. And there were three really critical moments, all revolving around Deontay Johnson and really big missed opportunities here, which could have substantially turned the tide of this game. 0-7, Bills are up. 5.5 remaining in the first quarter. 3rd and 8 in the Buffalo 11. DJ Deontay Johnson was on a drag route, made a really awesome catch, unfortunately, foot on the line. Had he caught that, Najee Harris, next play, runs that in. Changes the course of the game. Another occasion, Buffalo are up 24-3, 7:20 remaining in the second quarter. Pickett orchestrated just an incredible drive. 10-yard throw to Pickens, 11-yard to Gentry, 29-yard bomb again to Pickens. And then on the 19-yard line, 2nd and 8, DJ again, just drops it in the end zone. Oh, I didn't drop it, actually. No, it was a similar thing. He caught it, but feet were out. So two very crucial mistakes, and I'll pick on Deontay Johnson one last time as well. 10 minutes, 47 seconds remaining in the third quarter, 4th and 6, Buffalo 20-yard line, drops it cold on the 8-yard line. So you take all that together, this was a much closer game.
38-17?
Yeah.
One for the history books, this, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, seriously.
I don't know. Like, you obviously have shares in the Kenny Pickett fan.
What gives it away?
This is the Facebook group. I saw it.
This loss is not on their offense at all. Like, obviously, they would have made the game close.
TJ Watt makes a big difference in
that. I should actually preface it again. I actually
can't get it, Alan.
I'm not saying Steelers should have won that. Like, Buffalo win this game regardless. I'm saying that scoreline was not reflective of how close of a game this was.
Yeah, I just think that once it got to 38-3, like, it could have been 75-3 if Buffalo didn't run every play in the second half as well.
Could give Case Keenum a run as well?
I think that Buffalo, they just kept Allen out of harm's way, but I don't know. It'd be a long year for Pittsburgh, but they just got to stick with Pickett.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have to. Look, he's shown the tools. I watched obviously I watched the game that he played against the Jets, and now I've watched the game that he played against the Bills. The Jets have not got a defense in the same way that the Bills do. We've got an okay defense, but he was making really great plays. Forget a couple of the interceptions. First game off the bench, never played in the NFL.
One's a Hail Mary at the end.
Yeah, one's a Hail Mary. Like, forget a couple of those. But I think he's got all the tools to shine. Like with anything, it's going to come down to coaching. But if you're going to trust anyone, Mike Tomlin is someone you'll trust.
I think it's two things. Like, he might or he might not have the tools to shine, but Trubisky doesn't. So Rudolph doesn't. So go with what you get to look at for next year. In reality, Cincinnati and Baltimore are a fair bit better than Pittsburgh, and they're not going to win the division anyway. So build for the future.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, I'm going to bring this segment home, and I'm going to talk about Amazon stock. I'm going to talk about Amazon stock because Amazon must be fucking furious at the schedule and the slate of games that they're being given. The last two were bad. The next one is Commanders and the Bears.
Yeah.
Like, this is another really bad game. And, you know, I just want to throw something out here. Now, in Australia, the game happens at, what is it, like 11:20 a.m., right, on a Friday morning. Now, on Thursday, so Sydney time, at 4:30 p.m., Amazon stock was at $120 per share. By Friday at 1:30 p.m., coincidentally, toward the completion of the game, it dropped 5% to $114 a share. It dropped 5%. Doesn't sound like a lot. Now, am I drawing a correlation between a game played on Amazon Prime and the share price? Well, clearly I am. Is that the only reason? It's probably not. But Bezos has got to be losing the last of his hairs because the NFL has given him a sled of shit games.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's prime time. What are you doing, NFL? Like, why can't that be flexed? Why can't you do something better? You knew that these games were going to be shit.
Yeah.
We all could have told you that.
I think they don't. They never flex Thursdays, but because teams have a limited amount of Thursdays to play in because of the short turnaround. The first two were okay. The Bills Rams, even though the Bills won, and then that Chiefs Chargers game was good in the second week. But yeah, it's been some stinkers since.
Yeah, the last two were really bad. The next one's going to be really bad. I don't know what's coming up after that.
The Saints Cardinals.
The best one's week eight. It's Bucks and Ravens.
Yeah, that's it. That'd be a good game.
Yeah, yeah, but you have to wait till week eight. So I'm going to closely monitor this Amazon stock. Titan, because maybe we want to buy. Not that I'm giving financial advice. There is no financial advice here. But I might buy Amazon stock right before that Ravens-Bucks game. See if I can buy in the dip and chase the winner. Because that was just... That's just... I feel for them. But that's been some shitty games on the Thursday.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great ones going forward either.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, there you go. All right, we're done with our four downs, and now we're going to get into something called the two-minute drill. Now, this is new. If you've been listening along, we've also listened to your feedback. Everyone knows where to get the scores. Last week, the week before that, we're telling you the scores, we're reviewing the games. You guys know where to go. NFL.com, you know, some other podcast ESPN. That's totally by the books. Go to ESPN. Go get your scores anywhere else. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to review our reviews. And we're going to play a game called the two-minute drill. We're going to go around the room. We're going to talk about each of the games we predicted for. And we're going to review the either fantastic scorelines and predictions that we made or absolutely mundane and stupid. And we're going to be keeping a running tab. Now, I'm only going to explain this once. You're not going to have to listen to me garb about this again. But here's what's going to happen. At the end of the season, because we're going to be having a competition throughout the season, whoever is last on the ladder, last on that leaderboard, with the least amount of correct predictions, is going to have to sit in a McDonald's for 24 hours.
Day before the Super Bowl.
Day
Happy
before
Sunday.
The Super Bowl, right? Day before the Super Bowl.
Happy because Australian
we're,
Sunday.
Yeah, because we're going to be watching the Super Bowl all together. So the day, and by the way, the last hour has to be like an hour before the Super Bowl. So they're really fucked for the Super Bowl. And the only way to reduce your time in jail is by eating a cheeseburger.
High stakes.
High stakes indeed.
Yeah. What about a Big Mac? Is a Big Mac double?
Yeah. No, we'll talk rules later. Ability to reduce your penance. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen. And so we're going to start that.
And it must be live streamed. We must.
And yes. And as Evan said, it must be live streamed. It's got to be live streamed for 24 hours. We might be coming in as special guests to rip shit on the person who's suffering.
And have a big Super Bowl day. Someone, one of the four of us, is going to be really struggling going into it. We're going to all be struggling after it. Hopefully a great Super Bowl. We're going to potty while lick it up.
Yes.
Someone is still going to want to be sick from the calories they consume from the Golden Arches in the previous 24 hours.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say, not sponsored by McDonald's, but McDonald's, if you'd like to sponsor us, you know where we're going to be.
Please get in touch, yeah.
Yes, please get in touch with our marketing team.
And prefer it if Ronald rings directly.
Truthfully, I'd like it if Grimace could make attendance on the day. Yeah, big nugget.
Whoever does the 24 hours, if you're getting out of it with Big Macs, you'll be looking like Grimace.
So that's happening. But why do we call it the two-minute drill? Well, because at the end of our review of our predictions, well, two people are going to have immunity and two people are going to look really fucking stupid. And they got 2 minutes to plead their case as to why they don't have to do a shot right now. So we're going to try and make this a bit more entertaining. Matt, you've got the leaderboard here. Take us around. Let's talk about the Indy... And that Indy Denver shit
please
show.
Don't. Have we? Please don't. Please.
Don't give it any more airtime, please.
Should I go through what happened this game?
No.
You don't have to go through
it. Punt, field goal, intercept, punt, field goal, intercept, miss field goal, punt, field goal, punt.
Fourth and one from the eight, let's
punt,
throw.
Punt, field goal, intercept, field goal, downs.
How much would have paid on
what a game.
How much would have paid on Mitch's multis for no touchdowns if he scored the whole game?
It would have paid a lot with most bookmakers, but Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan are both shot. Was that the only turnover on downs of the whole game?
Yeah, it was. Right. At the end.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
What makes it worse is that it went to overtime, and all of us were pleading, "Please don't go to overtime! Please don't go to overtime!"
Well, when the home fans leave as soon as they equalize a 9-all,
what a sight!
The people leaving at halftime.
It was bad. It was really, really bad. Well, I already know what happened here because all you dumbasses picked.
I'll recap our selections and our picks. So last week, I predicted Denver would win 28-24. Mitch, also Denver, 24-10. Evan, Denver, 20-7. John, Indianapolis, 13-8. Actual score 12-9.
What a prediction. Automatic immunity for how good that prediction is. You've tipped an underdog and basically the total point. You've tipped the total points in the match.
Yeah.
Like, that's just outstanding.
And you, I think you had, I think you facetiously said something to the effect of it's like, there won't be any touchdowns, like two field goals at a safety or three field goals at a safety or something.
Yeah, it was very
some
close.
Shit that's like that.
No one will do a better prediction than that all year.
No,
is the standard, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know how you guys pick Denver. I mean, I just – Denver looks so bad and the coaching is so bad.
I want to double-click on what Mitch said just around being Nate Hackett. I mean, the Walter Panna family, the new owners of the Denver Broncos, leading into this game – would have been feeling sick about what's happened in the first 4 weeks because of Nate Hackett.
But
I think what was truly alarming, they'll be absolutely ill, is just how bad Russell Wilson looked.
Yeah.
Apparently he's got an injury. I think there's a bit, what's that?
Apparently he's got an injury. It was like a tear.
It was a shoulder thing. Like he had treatment. But I mean, shoulder injury or not, just that, just some of the decision making was just more than questionable.
Man, Denver have scored less points than Pittsburgh. Like, I think they've had enough airtime. Like, the only team that scored less points than Denver this year is Indianapolis. This game was a bad advertisement for the wonderful game.
And Denver's got the most primetime games out of every team so far.
No. Yeah, they have, haven't
I know
they?
They've recently purchased. It's getting a bigger market, expanding city, big name quarterback. They suck.
They suck. They do suck. And I think Hackett needs to go.
Indy suck too, but they don't have Kansas City and Justin Herbert in their division. So they could play playoff football somehow.
Who knows? Who knows? All right. What was the next game on our list? It was the London game, wasn't it?
The London game. That's right. We had the New York Giants, Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, the victors, 27-22.
Mm-hmm.
Their jerseys are blue. They're bloodied and bruised, but the G-man bit down on the mouth guard. They pulled out a victory for the ages.
You know, Danny Dimes led his third game-winning drive of the season. That's more than any other quarterback this season.
Wow, what?
Danny Dimes, and I've ripped on Danny Dimes plenty of times, but Danny Dimes.
He's a tough son of a gun.
They're 4-1 they've scored 10 points more than their opponents in the year.
They just won
a lot of one-score games, and their defense and their running games kept him in games, and he's come up with some plays late. I didn't see a lot of this game being a midnight or 12:30 a.m. vehicle in Australia. We all picked the Packers by basically a score.
We're all wrong. Yeah.
But they were a score up,
second quarter.
Yeah, in the second quarter, and they fair play to Giants. Like, they're going a lot better than what people think.
Yeah, for sure.
Up by 10 in the second half.
So we were all wrong, right, Matt?
We were all wrong. I called the Packers 24-17. Mitch 28-20. John, you said 31-24.
Oh, fuck that.
Evan 23-14. We all basically had a similar margin.
Well, they lose 27-20.
They lost 27-22. Yeah, so effectively the other way around.
I agree. And Giants conceded a safety late, did they? Was it?
Just a round out. Just to kind of end the game. So it was 27-20.
All right. So we all lost that one.
All off by a similar margin.
Yeah, I think so. Then we got a 4 p.m. game, right?
Yes. Rush time, baby.
Cooper.
Oh, rush.
Come on, Mitch.
Rush. hurry. Don't come back, Dak.
Mitch
and
Bill.
The Cowboys defense, we had some banter in our private chat. The Cowboys defense, Ev, you got to tee off on Matt here. Elite performance.
It was
here.
Very good. Micah Parsons showed Aaron Donald who the front runner of the Defensive Player of the Year is.
Yeah, the Rams are in huge trouble.
Okay,
Rush proved he is the superior Cooper in the league.
The Rams D. Oh,
that applies to you as well, Amari.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Who else is there?
So it was Dallas 22 over the LA 10. Rams 10.
Yeah, big margin.
10.
The Rams are in trouble.
I agree
Rams
with you, John.
Bad.
Well, as a Dallas fan, in the five games Dallas have had this year, they've only conceded one touchdown in each of the games.
Yeah, their defense is looking fantastic. Matt was on drugs last week. Their defense is looking fantastic.
You know, I was joking, right?
The Dallas
doesn't matter. You
defense.
Said it. You said it, and I'm gonna. It's in the.
Yeah, I'd rate them the second best D in the league behind
San Fran.
They don't. Yeah, they don't get the ball via takeaway as much as San Fran. I don't think. Mm. But yeah, they've probably played a better schedule. To be fair, as well.
Though. Although they have a chance to be the best D. I mean, Bose is injured. I think the San Francisco secondary is a bit banged
up. That's
why
this week will be very interesting how we go against Hurts in that run game.
And they've had a tougher schedule than San Francisco, definitely.
Yeah, mm. for sure.
Well, in terms of the picks, guys, I said the Rams would win 17-14, as did you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Oops.
John and Evan. John, you said Cowboys 16-13. Evan, Cowboys 16-14. We had
John,
very similar
John win.
Here.
Yeah, I think this game was always going to be low scoring, but John, close to the pin there.
Yeah, yeah. Tried my hardest. Next game. That would have been the Sunday night game, right?
Yeah.
Ravens-Bengals.
This is the one that you tossed the coin on, and it was actually, it was that close. It was that close. It was the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore.
What,
1917?
1917.
Not 31-10. In terms of the picks here, guys, just real quick. Evan picked the Ravens 31-17. John, Ravens 36-10. On a coin flip.
On a coin flip.
36-10.
Good. Actually, Evan followed the coin flip too. So don't just look at me.
But he did pick.
I got 17.
Mitch 27-21. I went the Bengals 23-20.
Oh, I got closest there. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Tucker.
How about that?
God, what a kicker.
15 fantasy points.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like when you have Jackson and him, you don't need to throw in a drive. Like you just run with Jackson, then on the third down, he just turns into a running back.
Yeah.
like a straight down the teeth running back as well. Like he doesn't need to get to the side.
Yeah, Ravens really went back to basics. It was just Lamar, Andrews, Tucker, just their bread and butter.
AFC North.
Yeah.
Defense based
football.
Whoever has last possession has a chance to win.
Who's the number one wide receiver of the Ravens?
I wouldn't say they have one. I think they're spreading the ball around to whoever can
Wallace, run. Robinson.
Down the field.
Yeah, since they lost.
Duvernay
would be there. I know
that Brown guy, yeah.
What
that let him go for?
Here's something crazy about Justin Tucker's field goal. When he's something funny about Justin Tucker's field goal. So Justin Tucker's game-winning field goal crossed the upright with a Y coordinate, so width of field of 26.52. The exact middle of the field is 26.67. That is, if the uprights were half a yard wide, the kick still would have been good.
Jesus.
That's how accurate that game-winning goal.
Do you know what?
Wish I could hit a golf ball like I could hit a football.
Speaking of that, though, did you see Evan McPherson, the kicker from the since he's fanboying over Justin Tucker on the sideline? He was like, "Ooh," you know, he had like this bright smile on his face. I mean, his team's losing.
What
that
about
point,
the kick he had that missed that got ruled in?
Apparently the rule is if it goes over the upright, it has to be within the outer side of the post, which is
because the post raised to heaven, and they say if it's either side or because they can't review it, it's whatever the umpires call it on the field. I don't think they can overturn it.
I think the official rule is if the ball is
above it,
if it goes above the post, but if it's within the outer,
I thought if it was above, it's
the outer side of the pole.
That's what I originally thought.
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, let's shelve that riveting conversation about whether or not a ball is in or not.
Yeah, it could be garbage time later in the year. Great chat, that. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to today's
last
game.
One. Yeah.
Guys, kickers are real footballers too. Come on. Please.
Yeah, they are. But the rules around whether kicks are good or not are probably not a gravely riveting combo.
Our fifth and final.
Sorry. Can I just add, if the ball goes beyond the height of the it would be considered a goal. So Matt,
have we got a mute button?
That's correct.
Is there a mute?
There is. Evan, you're going on mute.
It's a goal.
Yeah. All right. Finally, boys, the Monday night game. Las Vegas Raiders against the Kansas City Chiefs. Wow. It was a pretty back-and-forward contest, this one, but the Kansas City Chiefs edging out the Raiders 30-29. This was a clean sweep for us, which, thank God, because I was on 0-4 up until this point. So 1 out of 5 this week, boys. In terms of margins,
We all had this high scoring. It was going to be a good high scoring game, and that was one of the predictions from a betting perspective, how good a game this would be to watch.
Yeah.
Probably not the way you expected it with Vegas getting out to a big lead and KC running it down, especially at home, but...
Mm.
Yeah, Vegas, they can find ways to lose one score game this year.
They beat themselves. They had 11 penalties.
The penalty when KC ended up scoring that fourth touchdown as well was so big.
Yeah.
Well, where they jumped over the field goal. Oh, man.
Well, I think Davante Adams is going to lose a little bit more. Did anyone see him like knock the cameraman on the way out?
I saw a headline on the way here.
Yeah. He was just walking into the locker room at the end of the game, and this like cameraman was on the fly, and he just shoved him.
There was a real controversial call late as to whether or not he had a completion off the. I think what ended up being basically the second last play of the game, other than victory formation.
Yeah, but go deck a ref.
Yeah.
Well, it might be worse, but, you know.
Fly to New York and, it was a replay decision.
Speaking of controversial calls, anyone see that roughing the passer?
That was bullshit.
On Brady.
That was bullshit.
No, it was a bad one.
No, today. Brady and today.
Yeah, they were very similar penalties. Yeah, that was bad. That's bullshit. We've talked about this.
Let's protect the quarterback at all costs. We know the rules, unfortunately. Mm. Take a bit of physicality out of the game.
For 33 fantasy points, I think Travis Kelce has the worst stat line. 7 receptions for 25 yards.
It's not bad. It's weird, isn't it?
And just
with 4 touchdowns. Like it doesn't matter.
Evan,
a 1 yard touchdown
is just
butthurt
because you were up against Kelce this week.
It was, but I had Josh Jacobs. He put up 30 as well.
Stop it.
He's
had
plenty of 180-yard, 1 touchdown games, Kelce. But
yeah, he has. He's a quality receiver. He's a beast. So where does that leave us? What's the leaderboard look like now?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
No.
Matt, you're taking a shot.
All right, well, with 5 picks on the season, we have John top of the table, 4 out of 5. Well done, John. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Evan on 3, Mitch on 2. I was lucky to get 1 this week.
All right. Oh. So it's pretty. So the way this game works is like this. You've got the bottom two, right? So Evan and I have got to choose, and you guys have got a minute each. It's our 2-minute drill now to state your claim. Why shouldn't you take the shot of tequila? I really want Matt to go first.
Go, Matt.
Well, in terms of my score differential, I was 54 points off, whereas everyone else was like 60-odd, 70-odd.
Well, John was 51.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. No, you don't see that.
I remember
that. I am just banking on my score differential. Being bowled with Cincinnati almost happened, but, still a loss. I'm not putting a very good case together here.
Please move on. You've got 20 seconds. All right, we'll cancel
That's
you.
Done. I'm
what
done.
Do you think, Midge? Why shouldn't you take the shot?
The guy tipped 1 from 5.
I think it's it. All right. Evan, tribe has spoken. I think, Matt, you got to take a shot. Come on. Pour it up.
John, do you want to describe what this is?
Okay, so what we've got right here on offer, not from a sponsor, is, as Matt goes to pour it for himself, is Sierra Tequila. It's the Reposado. It's the darker colored one. It tastes like you would expect any cheap tequila to taste. It's strong. It'll put hair on your balls, and it'll likely make you cough. And that needs to be a full shot. Fill it up.
It's pretty full.
Fill it up. There we go. Okay. Yeah. And I guess here's to Matt. I don't think that's blue.
That's what tequila's supposed to smell like.
He's a piss pot through and through.
Come
ready?
On, buddy. Here we go. Finally, we
have video. Down.
Happy Tuesday night. enjoy the trip home.
All right,
man. Well, this little like Mexican.
There's only one way to get rid of hair on your balls, and that's with the lawnmower.
The 4.0. Somebody Manscaped, please sponsor us. Manscaped, McDonald's, and some of Mexico's finest.
Manscaped, if you're listening, Lawnmower 4.0. Hook us up with an affiliate link. All right,
now, Maddie. If someone, geez, you nearly have to be immune next week if you've got to drink that. Wow, that's I can.
Well,
I can just smell it in general. Yeah.
Let's see if he's going to have to back it up next week, because now we're going to get into our game preview.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this abomination of a Thursday night game again. I mean, what have we got? Commanders and the Bears.
What have we done to deserve?
Yeah, so we've got a Wentz versus Fields vehicle. Is anyone else excited?
I don't think I even want to talk about this game.
These two teams have spent so much time trailing in the first 5 weeks. Like, every time you red zone flicks to a Bears or Commanders game, they're behind by 2 scores. Well,
I
can't wait for them to
play. I saw a stat the other week where Justin Fields has thrown the least amount of yards in NFL history in his first 3 games of the season with like 280.
Well, is anyone surprised?
Yeah, they're a bad, bad team. They've won 2 games, though. And
hey, they gave Minnesota a scare. It was Minnesota they played, right, this week? Is that right?
Yeah, Minnesota shot out to a big lead and then
they scored 19 unanswered points.
Yeah. 21.
Almost called 21-19.
Did anyone see what Ron Rivera said at the press conference?
What did he
say? It was something to the effect of, they asked him about, why the rest of the NFC East is doing so well in comparison to the Commanders. And he said, well, if you look around the league, the teams with the solid quarterback situation are the ones that are winning.
Shots fired.
Now, Cooper Rush, that's, hello?
Yeah, but the point is, he's trying to say, Carson Wentz, your leash is short and you suck balls.
But 2 weeks ago, he was saying he was the perfect candidate from the free agency. He was big, he was strong, he could throw a ball, and now throw him under the bus?
He is big, he's strong, he can throw a ball. Whether he can do it accurately is another story.
Well, why go for him then?
Yeah, I mean, they're conceding 25.6 points in match defense as well. They probably won't concede that against Chicago, but... Yeah, like these teams, they're bad teams. Like this stinks like another like 18-15. Like
yeah. Well, is that your prediction? So let's start there. So what's your prediction, Mitch?
Considering the line's 0.5.
Or yeah, like it's going to be obviously tight. I'll back Carson. I'll go Commanders 2017.
Wow,
where are you getting these scores from?
What?
I'm going something completely different. I'm going
20 to 17.
20 to 17. Commanders. Yeah. Wow, that's big for two teams that don't like to put up points.
Yeah, maybe I'm backing an interceptor two each. Pick six to the house.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Jackson
actually
and someone who I don't know from the Commanders.
I'm calling 13 all into overtime, and it's going to be 13-16, and I'm going to go for Chicago. 13-16 Chicago. And it's going to be a game that goes into overtime at 13-all. If I get this right, fellas.
You'll be the king of Thursday
night.
Well,
I mean, it's supposed to.
I will be the king of Thursday
as
night.
As they've said,
Tell my wife.
It's expected it's expected to be a tie by betting. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun 1 p.m. on Friday afternoon doing the business there.
What did we miss? What's this? What did we miss?
Move on.
Maddie, what are you
for two very bad teams, I'm backing in the Bears 27-20. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, 27-20.
I wonder how many other podcasts are previewing this game.
Like, no one else.
It's
but we
like
have rules
pass.
To follow.
Yeah, yeah.
We have rules to follow.
I'm going to go 20-17, Commanders.
Oh, hey, same score as me. Hey.
Look, last week, didn't you guys learn your lesson? When you put up big scores, I put up little scores, and look what happened.
Well,
it's a long season. Yeah,
it's very not that dissimilar to yours.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
All right, well, for the next game.
1 p.m.?
A 1 p.m. game.
What are we looking at?
It should be a cracker. Baltimore Ravens at the New York Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? At the start of the season, we wouldn't have said this is going to be a cracker. No. But with the Giants, the way they're playing recently.
The Giants would have a better record than the Ravens?
Yeah. Who would have thought the Giants had a better record than most teams?
Who would have
thought
the Giants would have won 4 games in general?
Well, yeah, true. Because no one thought that Saquon was going
to
come back and be any good.
Yeah, they were expected to be a 6 or 7 win team total.
Yeah, they weren't looking great.
For mine, I mean, New York are just banged up on offense here. I mean, they made it work against Aaron Rodgers this week, but Ravens have really got this coming together. So I'm backing in the Ravens. 31.
Wow.
To 17.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Giants' D has been pretty good this year in every game. I think the Ravens will win, though. I'm going to go Ravens. I'll go 24-17.
Evan, you got a prediction there, buddy?
I'm tossing and turning. I'm thinking
just
of possible
on Tinder.
That's why he's tossing. Actually,
he's on Sportsbet.
He's applying for Matt Rule's job.
Hey, you can't be on Sportsbet right now.
No, that's Mitch's. That's Mitch.
Unfortunately, it's not these days.
I'm going to go Baltimore 31.
Uh-huh.
And the Giants 17.
That is so you've got the same score as Matt in this game and the same score as me in the first game.
Tactics.
Good to see we're listening.
I'll go first the next one.
Interesting. Well, I'm actually going to go, I'm going to be au contraire, and I'm going to go for the G-men.
Ooh.
And that is because, I don't know, there's just something different about this Giants team that I've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Now, Brian Daboll, man.
Yeah.
Stick with the ball, guys.
I think Daboll is going to be coach of the year this year. I think without a doubt he's coach of the year. I think that they've got a pretty solid unit on both sides. I'm picking the G-men, and I'm going to go 24-23. One-point bonanza. 24-23, G-men. I'm back in a fourth game-winning drive by Danny Dimes, who I don't have any faith in before this season, but now I'm just looking at him and He's got the hot hand. And I think that they're a hotter team at the moment than the Ravens. The Ravens are prone to making mistakes.
Yeah, they are. Right now. That's definitely true.
Well, after your performance this week, John, I've got no reason to doubt you. But
then change your
moving on. Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs. We've been looking now, forward to this.
This is a hard one. This is a hard one. I don't know how to pick this.
Unbelievable game.
This is another coin flip.
At Kansas City Chiefs.
Buffalo 28, Kansas City 24.
Very quick.
Interesting. He's been thinking about that.
28-24.
Really? So, well, let's talk about this game because we've got two high-powered offenses, incredibly high-powered offenses, two defenses that are playing at a decent enough level but are letting through points. So I think it's definitely going to be one of those sort of, you know, 30-plus. Like, if you're betting over-under and the over is, like, 50 points, you take it in this game.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, Buffalo's defensive record is a fair bit better than Kansas City's. Like, they've conceded half the points, but they've played a way softer schedule outside of the Ravens and the Rams, who are probably below their best offensively. I'm just going to go Kansas City at home. Whoever possesses last wins, high-scoring game for me. Kansas City 31-28.
Silence is interesting.
This is such a hard one.
It is a hard game.
Man, the last game, the divisional round last year, one of the best games of all
time. Oh, my God.
Big coin. I got to flip on this one again. Flipping worked last week.
With the same coin?
Yeah. But this
whoever wins his favourite.
Well, it was equally a difficult game to pick. It was the Cincinnati Ravens
it was.
One flipped on. So
it was.
Whoever wins this but
Chiefs
favorite,
have a head.
Favorite for the
Chiefs
Super Bowl,
have a head,
sure.
So you have to go. Think,
yeah. All right, Chiefs head because they're at home and Buffalo tails. And then I'm going to flip a second time for high scoring versus low score.
Oh, wow.
For high margin versus low margin, okay. Right? All right, so we're going to flip it. Oh, that fucking bounced off the roof. Hang on a second. I've got
to
go collect
shout
this.
Shout out to the studio there. John's that roof soundproof?
All right. Kansas City. And I'm going to flip this motherfucker again. Evan, this one's coming to you, buddy. What is it? Oh, hang
spinning.
On. High scoring is heads. High margin is heads and low margin is tails.
It is a head.
So it's high margin. So I've got to pick Kansas City 38-23. It said high margin.
Yeah, I'm also going KC.
Trust the coin.
Fuck it. You just have to see so many points in this game. I'm going to go...
Exciting game.
Oh, man. This is so hard.
Give me some arrowhead barbecue while we wait.
34-24. I don't see Bills scoring as many. KC.
All right. Well, let's talk about this Dallas and Philly game. What do we got, boys? Silence again.
Ev, you want to go first? You open up.
I'm going first.
Are you brave enough to pick your boys?
I see Cooper Rush choking in Philly in prime time in that weather with those fans. I'm going to say this is. I want to see.
Some of those fans.
Oh, no.
Didn't expect anything different.
I want to see him win so bad, but it's going to be a 23-7 win for Philly.
Ooh, that's a big margin.
That is interesting. So you reckon Cooper Rush, who's never lost a game in a Cowboys uniform, even including last year, is going to lose his first game in Philadelphia.
That must be
crushing for you.
It is.
Are you going to be available next Tuesday for the podcast?
It will be, because it's a win-win. Either I get this tip or Dallas is fucking 5-1 and top of the division. Win-win.
And the conference, you'd imagine, by the virtue of the tiebreak.
Yeah, true.
Matt? What do you reckon?
Philadelphia 6-0.
6-0? Oh, no, 6-0.
They'll go 6-0.
You know what? I'm going Philadelphia 6-0.
Not quite the same margin as Ev, but I'm going to say relatively low scoring though. I'm going to go 17-10 on this one.
Yeah, I think this is a low score. I have to go Philly, but... Yeah, I would not be surprised if Dallas win at all. I'll go Philly 17, Dallas 13.
Ye of little faith. I'm going for Dallas, and I'm going Dallas 23-17.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I don't know. There's just something really interesting about the way this team is rallying around him. And I actually wasn't as impressed this week with Philadelphia as I have been versus Arizona. I mean, we didn't talk about that, but
travel there and. Yeah, not a much of a rivalry. I don't know. I think they're looking for this game, Philly. It's a big game, huge game.
Yeah.
To round this out, guys, Mitch has already had a crack at these two coaches.
Oh, my God.
You've had a crack at these two coaches. Hackett, we've got to talk about Staley. This.
How is this the Monday night game?
Unbelievably. Hackett. Denver Broncos at the L.A. Chargers.
Hackett versus Staley. Russell Wilson available to play though? That's probably the key.
Apparently he will be. Apparently he will be. But I'm gonna take a quick stab at this, and I'm gonna go 42-7, LA.
Oh, so real thumping, huh?
Yeah, I think this is gonna be one of those Bukkake score lines.
What's better, like the fact that that'll probably mean Hackett's unemployed on Tuesday, or that Staley continues to be employed?
Well, I think that team is just way better than where the Broncos are. Yeah, even neglect Brandon Staley's terrible coaching decisions. That team is still way better. I can't see Denver doing anything against any opponent at the moment. Like, you know, who are they going to beat? Who are they going to beat? So, 42-7?
You said 42-7.
Jeez. Well, actually, you know what? No, I'm changing it. 42-6. I don't think a touchdown. Two field goals.
Three safeties.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Two field goals.
I think the Chargers are an interesting team. Like they could, if they're in the NFC, they'd be the best team in the conference, nearly. Like their offense is so good, despite Brandon Staley, and they'll just smash Denver. There's no way Denver can score enough to beat them. I don't know. 42-6 seems high. I'll go Chargers 34, Denver 14.
Evan,
what you got, Ev?
He's Snapchatting himself at the moment.
Sorry. I'm going to go Chargers 35.
35?
Yep. Five straight touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Denver 10.
Mm. You think they'll score a touchdown?
Hosing margins here.
Yeah, well, I mean, how can you not?
I'm going to give Denver a little bit more faith. I'm backing LA, but I'm going to go... ...31-28.
Wow. Come on. That's going to get you the tequila shot next week.
Doubling Denver's offensive.
I did say LA.
Denver. But if that's such a stupid prediction.
There's comedic value because a loss like that will mean that this time next week we can still talk about Hackett and Staley.
That is true.
You know what?
You can't change it.
I'm going Denver 31.
Yeah, you can change it.
You
can change it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you can definitely change it.
He loves the taste of that $22 tequila.
He does. He does warm the cockles of his heart.
You'd love a tie, eh, Mitch, in this game?
No.
No one wants
I'd probably prefer a tie in this game than Bears Commanders, though.
Yeah, that's going to be some
pleasant At least this
football.
Game has Justin Herbert in it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, now we can run off to Mitch's multi.
Oh, I've done minimal preparation in terms of odds for this, but...
Well, before we get to that, Mitch, review last week's
Yeah,
picks?
There's not much to review here. Nate Hackett is what to review. KC and Minnesota won, albeit barely, and Minnesota nearly blew a massive lead, and KC conceded a massive lead against them early. They both steadied and won. We were a bad Nate Hackett play call away from a $2.52 collect, but close as no cigar, no dice. This week, I struggled. I think there's a lot of games here that look quite tight, which is reflected in our five games that we've previewed. I do like the obvious though of the Chargers, and I will
obvious.
I will roll. Yeah, sorry, Matt. The obvious of the Chargers, and I will roll that in to the Rams, who absolutely, if they don't beat Carolina, their season is categorically dead. They will not play playoff football. All up Tampa Bay to cover the line against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I'm not a believer in Pittsburgh, Matt. They're playing an elite quarterback and a veteran team. They're going to get hosed.
You think the Rams cover the 10.5?
No, I don't think the Rams cover the 10.5. I think the Bucs cover against the Steelers. I think the Rams win straight out. The Chargers win straight out.
What's that paying?
What does that pay us?
Have we got odds there, Ev?
Yep, so you got Tampa minus 8.5.
Yep, I think they win by 2 scores minimum.
Then we got the Rams just at the line. Sorry, no.
Head-to-head, the Rams.
And the last one was
Chargers.
The Chargers just to win.
Head-to-head. Yep.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is paying us $3.23.
Ooh. There we go. There we go. Bang it down. Some for the fans.
I'm going to power play for $3.41.
We have lost two of the last
not
three.
Not sponsored by Sport.
So we won 2 weeks ago. We did lose 3 weeks ago. Lost last week. So something to get some of that back, hopefully.
Very good. Very good. Well, we shall see. Your record has been...
ordinary.
Well, I'm glad you said it.
As ordinary as that tequila.
About as ordinary as that tequila. Matt, you'll know about it next week again with your Denver prediction. I think we can already call that. Let's now get into our fantasy SKs and SKs. And just as a reminder, if you don't know what an SK is, we're going to talk about fantasy sitcom and fantasy...
shit.
Yes, exactly right. So... but this week, what we're going to do is we're going to bring a player each. So we're going to have four up and four down. So let's talk about our four up fantasy SKs. Who's got someone that they think you absolutely have to start and play this week?
I think you pick him up. Kenneth Walker of the Seahawks.
Lucky you picked a few. That was mine, mate.
Yep. Interesting. With the Seahawks running back Penny out of the year ACL and that Seahawks offense, I think this will be a good quick pickup if you're low in your waivers.
Cards aren't bad against the run, though. That's my one thing I had here. Mm. I do feel good about Kenneth Walker in this one, but cards are not bad.
He had some good numbers towards the end. He picked up like 12 points.
They look good, man. Mm. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, I actually think it's got to be David Montgomery. So Chicago running back. He's back this week. Well, he was back last week. He had a good week last week. You know, the Washington defense is not that amazing. We've already seen that. They're letting through a lot of points. They're doing a lot, letting through a lot on the ground. So I think David Montgomery, I think he's going to be the only shining piece this week for Chicago. I don't think Chicago put up a lot of points, but they've got no choice but to run the ball. Like, they don't have anything else going for them. So he's going to get a lot of touches. He should get a lot of yards. This week, he caught a lot of balls out of the backfield. It's all good for fantasy points reduction, even without a touchdown. So I think David Montgomery is my SK four up.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were, fantasy managers were giving up on David Montgomery, dropping him, and everyone was all about Khalil Herbert, but my God, he looked good. Incredible.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. As soon as he was ready and willing to play, Khalil Herbert, 7 touches. That's all he got the whole game. Yeah. So anyone who dropped a player for Khalil Herbert, you're an idiot.
Harsh, but fair. It, in a similar way, if you had started... Damian Harris over Ramondre Stevens, you would have been very sorry.
Yes, you are.
And I am very sorry because I did. And to that end, my good SK is again Ramondre Stevenson because they do play against a Cleveland side that is shocking against the run.
Yeah, they are. They are. Mitsuo?
I saw some improved signs out of former fantasy great Alvin Kamara last week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And true.
I not big on the Bengals' rush defense. Statistically, it doesn't read that bad, but it looks to have holes in it to me. They look in trouble on both lines, I think. I think the Saints at home, they'll be Kamara heavy, unlikely to get a game as crazy as what Taysom Hill produced last week out of him again. They're Kamara heavy. I think they will do enough to win against the Bengals, and it'll be on Alvin having a storming game.
Mm.
Good one.
All right. They were our SKs. They were our four up. Let's talk about our four down. I'm going to go first here and say Jalen Hurts.
What?
Ooh. Yeah, because I believe
in the Dallas defense. I believe in the Dallas defense. They're going to win. Yeah,
exactly right. Double and I think that a lot of people will be starting Jalen Hurts regardless because he's having a great season.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think if you've got a quarterback on your bench that you can start instead of Jalen Hurts, I would feel more comfortable this week starting Geno Smith than Jalen Hurts. That's a big deal. But yeah, Jalen Hurts, he's my down. I would put him on the bench if I were you. Not forever, but just for this game.
Mm.
For me, after the first 3 weeks, Christian Kirk put up some good numbers of 18, 26, and 20 points. The last two, he's only got 3 catches at 12 targets. So if he's on your wideout list, I'd say drop him to the bench or look for a trade because, the next 4 games, you're coming up against the number 1, number 2, number 3 pass defense.
Yep, true. True that.
I'm going to go right out there here. One of the best players in fantasy, Nick Chubb.
Oh, the Chubba.
Yeah. The Browns can't. The Browns can't throw the ball more than 5 yards, and they're against the greatest defensive coach of all time. Off the back of a 29-0 win last week, the Patriots are just going to just completely flood the box against the Browns and make Brissett beat them. Former Patriot, third string great as well. They're massive.
Did he get a ring? Big
chance of winning. He would have. Yeah. He definitely would have in the 28-3 year. He would have gone for sure. Yeah, to me, Chubb, and the game's on him. Like he creates space for Brissett, then the Browns can win. But otherwise, big defensive performance from the Patriots, and Matt Judon constantly around the just under helmet region of Jacoby Brissett.
So speaking of that region, he'd be Nick Flaccid then.
Could be.
His under helmet.
Yeah, we already mentioned it. Gabe Davis. Two huge receptions, 32.1 fantasy points this week.
Mm-hmm.
You sit him this week. Although they're up against a Kansas City defense that are equally a shite, I think he'll be well covered, won't back up the same performance, and Buffalo just really are mixing up things on the offense week over week, just look completely different. So I would not be starting Gabe Davis.
There you go. All right. Four down.
Mitch has taken the lead in fantasy as well, by the way.
I have. I was 0-2 after 2 weeks, but yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
A couple of tough losses, but got there the last 3 weeks.
Madden, do you want a bottom two?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Long season, though.
I was only predicted to win zero games, according to the AI system.
You predicted to go zero?
I was predicted to go zero games, and I won two. So stick that up, your Heineken.
Jeez, wow, that's huge.
That is huge. All right, we're into our last segment. And of course, like in any NFL game, we are into garbage time. And Evan loves garbage time. He always brings us something better. To debate. There's nothing better than garbage time. Evan, lead us home. Lead us home.
Matt, get your laptop out because I want to discuss this.
Mm. Processes.
Now, let's go from number 8 to number 1. All divisions combined for one team. Who is the worst, the best?
As in...
NFC East, NFC West, they all combine for one team.
In current year form.
Right.
Current form.
Okay.
Records he's talking about?
No, I'm saying team. If they all combine for one team, quarterback, running back.
Oh, so if you name an all-pro team out of each division, so NFC's best players. Okay.
Yeah. NFC East will verse NFC South, NFC North versus, and then it comes into a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, okay.
Surely Mitch Trubisky would be starting the NFC North, right? AFC North, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, this is interesting. So
the question is which division would win with the all combined team? Easy would say AFC West.
All the great offensive starters from the Chargers would be behind second stringers to most of the players from the Chiefs. So.
I would call an NFC East, AFC West Super Bowl, though. That's what I think.
You got the O-line combined of the Eagles and Dallas.
But then again, could you imagine giving Aaron Rodgers, who's not been that great, him Justin Jefferson?
Yeah. To me, that's the winner. Yeah.
Not really. Maybe. I'm thinking of the defense of Dallas, Philly, and Washington. You get a better D than that. What? Then you have the Rams with Seattle. Fran.
No, but you have Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones.
If you would
have... I got a winner, and with respect to the Lions and the grit they show, and the Bears, you've got Aaron Rodgers handing the ball off to Aaron Jones or Dalvin Cook, throwing it
or
to
Swift.
Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen. You've got DeAndre Swift. Man, like there's some power in that. Minnesota's defense is reasonably good. Green Bay got some players that can get at the quarterback. The Bears' defense is not bad. So, I don't know.
So, I reckon it'll be easier. So, the worst division, I believe, is the AFC South.
I think we can consensus that, yeah.
100% is the worst.
The next I would go is the AFC North.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I just
You can't just say... No,
okay, wideouts.
What?
You have Chase...
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got one of the fastest guys in the league. You've got that wideout room in Cincinnati alone would be enough.
Yeah, Cincinnati's offense is proper loaded. You just have...
Just got a bad line. If that line was improved. So if that line had
Baltimore's line.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's no elite defenses in that division, though. Cleveland might be the best defensive team out of the four of them. But, yeah, I don't know if it's the second worst, but it's not up there.
Actually, no, maybe NFC South is second worst. You got Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta.
Man, if that division didn't have Tom Brady in it, would anyone pay attention?
Like, no, of course not. Of course not. If Jameis Winston was still there and Taysom Hill was starting in
Taysom Hill, what a beast.
Yeah, beast.
It's like a special teams tight end quarterback in one. Like, what a player.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, that's what
he was, actually.
It's very rare that you see a person single-handedly win an NFL game in multiple positions, but he actually
did. That's true. Crazy performance. It's like Shohei Ohtani.
In the AFC West, would you have Wilson as the fourth quarterback?
Yes.
Absolutely.
At present, yeah.
Right now?
He is better than Carr, but at present, yeah, he's fourth.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is interesting. Will we reach
consensus? Herbert's two, but like...
The consensus is like, he might be three
in the league, but
it would be the best division. I vote for the NFC East.
No, I don't think the NFC. I don't think they win the Super Bowl.
AFC West. You don't have to defend when you have Austin Eckler and the rest of Kansas City's offense.
Yeah,
and then if Mahomes gets hurt, you bring Justin.
Davante Adams. Oh yeah,
Davante Adams. You bring Justin Herbert.
AFC West. Oh my god,
Renfro.
Man, like
yeah.
I know Denver is struggling offensively. They have a reasonably good offensive list.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton playing with Patrick Mahomes. Could you imagine? Oof. You got Eckler coming out of the backfield with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's been having a pretty cracker season.
The best
tight
end in the
league. Josh Jacobs.
And then you've that's right. And then you've got
Kelsey. Like seriously, like that division, that team would score 45 points.
Mm.
Okay. So what happened?
And you have Michael Jordan at quarterback.
Michael Jordan.
he is. Yeah, he is
there's
the Michael Jordan.
There's no player that's come close to
West
him.
So West is the best in the AFC, and the NFC would be?
Oh, East for sure.
East. Yeah, I think
we'll take, the North would finish second. The West really struggling. Although the 49ers, if you put... The problem with the 49ers is there's...
Well, the Rams and Niners there when they're healthy is probably the best defensive.
The Niners, but D's the best. Like, if the Niners had Patrick Mahomes, they'd go 17-0. Like, they're just a quarterback away. Like, their team is absolutely incredible, quarterback aside. But yeah, if you use this argument in that division, like the way Stafford's currently playing, I don't know. I'd probably go Murray as the top quarterback.
That's true.
Yeah, I'd say NFC North and NFC East plays the NFC Championship. AFC North?
Or what about the East? Buffalo. We didn't even mention them.
Buffalo. Yeah.
Just Buffalo, that's it.
Oh, you got Tyreek. Miami got some
Waddle
pieces. Yeah, like Waddle. Gesicki's decent. Like
Patriots
defense is good. They get at the quarterback in
particular. What would you get from the Jets?
They've got plenty of young talent.
Think of the line. You've got Carl Lawson, who's got the most quarterback hits this league. You've got Quinnen Wilson. Our O-line right now, actually, Elijah Vera Tucker, who has had to play three seasons.
Even your left tackle
is just unproven. We're young.
Your left tackle that's out for the year. What's his name? Beckham?
Mekhi Becton's out. But think of the young wide receivers that we've got in that team as well. Think of the cornerbacks we got. You know, Sauce Gardner has been a fantastic first overall.
And I know we're talking about like a one-off game, but like you get that young talent, you get Bill Belichick to coach it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's true.
I think the East runs second, albeit they'd be flogged by the West if they played each other, just because of the offensive firepower in the West.
Yeah,
sure. AFC been a West wins. Simulation like, on this.
You cannot beat the offensive talent in the AFC West, man.
It's true.
Like Kansas City are like a team of like this is watching a video game.
Do you know what? Yes. Yeah.
Insane team.
You know what this has brought up for me? You know, the Pro Bowl is apparently going to be pretty shit this year because it's only a skills competition now. Everyone see it?
Yeah, it's brushed, only skills.
But you know what? The idea of like AFC and NFC because it's one game that no one gives a fuck about is the reason why they sort of put together a pretty shitty game. Could you imagine if instead this competition existed where it was four divisions, the other four divisions, and you know you gotta get the. It's like a mini Super Bowl competition on its own.
Prize to make the players interested.
They'll probably they wouldn't do a full game. They'll probably do two quarters.
Yeah, like a even a one quarter game or like a one possession each or
you
two
finish,
possession
you
each
finish
game.
It in
the
day.
See the best division, you know, because then you get more players being able to put themselves on that stage. It's good exposure for the NFL.
I think the trouble with that idea is when you have it though. The problem with the Pro Bowl is that the players from the Super Bowl teams don't play. Yeah. Everyone else is.
on holiday.
Devastatingly, they don't complain that they get paid.
Hang on, but it used to be after the Super Bowl so that anyone could play. They just changed it up because they wanted a bye week before the Super Bowl. So if you go back like 10 years ago and then the entire history of the Pro Bowl, it was you play the Super Bowl and then the next week you play the Pro Bowl.
You have to have it at the end. You can't have it at the start because the franchises would not have a massive injury or even a mid-range injury. Of course. The week after the Super Bowl, but I don't know whether you get the fan engagement then.
But then players will probably complain about money.
But they did, though. I think they did for years, though. And they used to make it like a good holiday in Hawaii and whatever, and now they change it up.
It's the competition fucking basketball. Like a bunch of
dodgeball
players telling each other on Instagram how good they are. Like, seriously.
The fun ones, the kickers, how they play tic-tac-toe.
I don't know. The skill, I think the skills competition is really going to destroy viewership this year. Like, I don't think that's the part that anyone watches the Pro Bowl for. They watch the Pro Bowl because they're expecting.
I have to say, as a fan that loves the game, I'm not interested.
Sorry, didn't they do a touch last year?
It's kind of touch as it is. It's like the basketball and All-Star game, defending. Like the pitchers only pitch one innings in the MLB one. Like
exactly.
I don't know. The problem is that these behemoths of corporate organizations in the leagues are so big.
Yeah.
That the club versus country debate that exists in like soccer or whatever. Like here, it just club versus exhibition game. It's just there's no fair argument. I don't know how you could make players care. I really don't.
Yeah. Money. It's the only way.
It is the only way, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's enough money going around in the NFL, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that somber note and somber ending, I guess we're done. Yeah, I guess we're done. So,
hey, don't worry. We have basically a Super Bowl. So we could have the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship on Sunday this week.
We do.
Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys. How good will it be?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. And on that note, do not forget, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, give us 5 stars, subscribe to this motherfucker. That way we can get the sponsorships from Manscaped and McDonald's and any other business that starts with an M.
Enjoy your last game, Nate Hackett.
See ya. He's done.